Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The best medicine for a performance like that is getting back on the practice field and getting back out there. So today was a great day for us. Just new opponent, new week, starting fresh, just getting into the preparation. But, obviously you don't want to have weeks like I had last week. And, you know, that can't happen if we're going to win football games. So just put everything I have into this week and move on. And for me and the roller coaster I've been on, I have an easy way of putting things like that behind me and moving on. And I probably talked more on the bench than I normally would in between series, just talking with him, talking through, you know, what I was seeing, what they were doing. And it's good for me. It's good for me to walk through those things. But I, especially in talking through some of those things, want him to kind of understand what I'm seeing and to be able to ask questions, even if it isn't a game-like setting. And I thought we had a good back and forth, good rapport on the sideline, and he asked some really good questions, and it seemed like he saw the game pretty decent from the sideline in terms of the stuff that we were talking about and some of the questions he was asking. So it was good, and it was a good start just to build on that communication now, just being another set of eyes for me to be able to trust. I thought he did a nice job.
Wow. Ryan Fitzpatrick, man, I love you. I don't like three interceptions, but I really love you, man.
It's hard not to like that guy, right?
That guy is the only guy in the NFL that is talking about, while I was coming over, I spent a lot of time with Tua just to see where see things that he saw, go over everything. It was good for me, and I knew it would be really good for his growth. And I'm thinking, how many veterans – starting quarterback, he's a little different guy. He's not, you know, a frontline lifetime quarterback, franchise quarterback. But a guy that is, like, playing and yet still making sure Tua's getting everything that he's getting. And it becomes a great story. It becomes a big story. Tua had a great week. Like I felt like Tua completed 10 of 15 passes. Yeah, he was really paying attention. You don't always get that from the backup quarterback during the game, but he was asking great questions. He's getting close, and I was thinking, this is a first for me, by the way, and I know he's a high first-round pick, and we want to push him along and get him in there. But the fact that he had articles written about him, Tua Tagovailoa, became a story that, yeah, Tua preparing himself. Great week, great Sunday for Tua. And I'm thinking, wow, that's where we are, man. Anything Tua, that's it. You know, it's all for you, man, as we continue on. Good morning to everybody out there, by the way, as we don't jump ahead of ourselves after. I do think a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick, man.
It's impossible to think anything bad about the guy after you hear him speak.
Except the three picks. I mean, three picks.
I mean, listen, his football play last Sunday, We went through that pretty handily in the last couple of days. But, I mean, after hearing him talk and then you hear him talk about the young backup quarterback that's learning so much, and it was great for me to go explain stuff to him, and it was great for me that
he asked great questions. Right, he asked great questions. Right. That was the big one.
Like
hey, I really like what you're doing. You're asking great questions, and the coach, right. Yeah, he asked great. He was really, like, he wants to get out there and he wants to get better, which I think everybody just kind of thinks, if you're on that football team, you're competing, you want to play. Like, you want guys half pissed off over on the sideline if they're not playing. I want to see a shot of a Breida, like, half pouting over on the sideline or salty that he's not the guy. I it's all good stuff. So anyway, hey, listen, that was obviously a story that is incredible with everything going on. It is one of the busiest times we'll ever have in sports. I know we say it all the time because of the craziness of 2020, whatever you want to call it, that's caused you, I'm sure, a lot more stress than usual for most people, whether it's through your life, politics, religion, and everything. By the way, I'm not real happy with the Catholic Church. Not that anybody cares, but if you're a member of something, you can be critical of it. But yeah, the Catholic Church. I'm gonna have to go see like the lead priest today. We're gonna have to talk.
Uh-oh.
Like what officially are the rules and regulations and politics of the church, man? Like, I guess I didn't realize the church is about 50-50, I saw. I didn't even know. Like, you know, now we know everything, right? With what are you on the left or the right? So apparently the Catholic Church is like 50-50, which I would have never known because I don't think I go enough to really know. Right. But anyway, hey, getting away from all that stuff, I do want to get back to this. Just a crazy busy time. So we got Dolphins and Bills. Cam Newton hands off to Josh Allen as we get set for that. The Marlins win again last night, 8-4. Jorge Alfaro hits a couple of home runs. They're now 25-22. How about this? They have the fifth best record in the National League East. And you're going, yeah, but season just started. Uh-uh. There's 13 games left, man.
Right,
there's
that's it.
13 games left. They have played 47. Everybody, of course, is all over the board. By the way, some people are over 50. Some of the teams that have had no problems are at 50. So this thing is going to wrap up here real fast. And the Marlins are sitting there actually going to be dancing in the playoffs. And we'll be talking about that on this crazy season. By the way, counts. I know I don't want to get into a debate whether this short season counts or listen, they're going to play it. They got to have something set up for everything. Hockey, somebody's going to win a Stanley Cup. Somebody's going to win an NBA championship. Talk about the Heat in a second here. And baseball's going through the same thing. Like, yeah, everybody wanted to play more games. We get it. That's what you guys agreed to. It was ugly. But we're here, and we want to find out, you know, who it's going to be. And by the way, some of the top teams, as you would expect, are at the top. Dodgers are really good, which they should be. They're friggin' loaded. The Padres are a nice story. The Cubs are a nice story. The Braves are hanging in there just barely ahead of the Marlins. But listen, it's a hell of a story. It really is, even on this shortened season. So you got that. We got Thursday Night Football just snuck up on me. I went, holy smokes. Former first round, the number one overall first round picks.
Right, that's how they're promoting it. Number one, Joe Burrow, and number one, Baker Mayfield.
Got to have a theme for every game.
So. Right.
No, Zach, come on, man. Whether it's we find out a couple guys don't like each other or one guy left or one guy's back with his coach. I mean, you're always looking for a theme to a game. And that one, and by the way, I was thinking of Joe Burrow last night. I don't know why, but can you imagine Joe Burrow going from that record-setting year where he doesn't lose, he's throwing 4 or 5 touchdowns every game, running for 50 or 60 yards. I mean, let's be honest. We've never seen a season in college football like it. I mean, it's just – at the highest level football, it's one of the great, like, he's going to go down, and I know if you're counting college careers, maybe not, but for 1 year, whenever you talk about some of the greatest years you can ever remember from some of the great running backs, and we've had some great running backs put up stupid college football numbers at the highest level. You know, I can think of a bunch of guys right off the top that through the years. But we're going to put Joe Burrow right up there. Whatever you think of him.
Right.
Joe Burrow's year was just phenomenal. And he did it.
Ridiculous.
And we're going to look back, and he did it against the big boys.
Right.
He went out, and he didn't shortcut you with a weak sister lineup of games. Can you imagine he goes out, and he's playing with that group, and he can't even throw a touchdown pass?
No.
He's got to be going, seriously. It has got to be, and I didn't play on a very good college football team, so I was lucky to go the other way. Like, wow,
right.
This is what winning's like. This is awesome.
Joe, I'm guessing that most people would more than likely, if given the decision, go through what you did and not went through what he's doing right now.
I just think, because you usually hear these guys at some point going, I've already lost more in this first half of season than I lost in my whole college career. These guys that come in as five-star state champions, go to these great college football teams, lose three games in 3 years, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, and then you go to a bad team, and you're like, wow. It's got to be, and I know it's about money and all that stuff, but for Joe Burrow, who's a leader and of the team, I can't even imagine what it's like to go from throwing for 400 yards a game and having five touchdown passes to like going, oh, God.
To being the starting quarterback for the Bengals. Right?
All that pressure he got on him and going, oh, boy. So anyway, he and Baker Mayfield, neither guy lacking any confidence, by the way. We'll play against each other tonight. And finally, guys, I know you're probably not going to watch, and even if Tiger is playing, but the U.S. Open is kind of fun. Actually, outside of, I guess outside of the Masters for me, because I just feel like I know every Masters hole and the ones that seem to get all those guys. The U.S. Open, no matter where it is fun to watch, because they make that friggin' golf course so hard that, guys, if you can't hit it straight and you go off that tight little fairway and you can't hit it and you end up in the rough, the last 3 days I've listened to those guys ask for more help out finding their ball once they spray it a little bit left or right, because the rough, meaning the grass, they let grow. They can't even see the ball. The guys were talking about, they were looking for it. They stepped on it. They didn't see it. Guy stepped on his ball. And they want it tough. They don't want these guys shooting 20 under the U.S. Open. And
is
so,
it better that than to see a guy who struggles or no? What would you rather? It's like when you ask Channing about a football game, Channing wants to see a 10-3 football game. He thinks that's a real football game, not 42-34. But what is your fate, like your way at the end of one of these tournaments to say that was a great tournament when a guy is 22 under or a guy's
40? I don't 22 under, 24 under, guy shooting 62 and mid 60s, that does nothing for me. And I like offense. So listen, if it's football now, give me a 35-31.
Right. I figured
last ball. Yeah, I like that.
Defensive guys like 10-3 and offensive guys
like
that.
Yeah. But as far, like, I enjoy this. Like, I want to see the best players in the
kind
world
struggle on a course. You know,
I just want to see them play the toughest golf course. Right. And if they're good enough and they hit 80-something percent of their fairways and they can hit it straight, it's not necessarily how long you hit it. You got to hit it straight. And if you're spraying it, you ain't even make the cut. Right. Like, if you spray it, and by the way, there are going to be guys lose their, you know, there are going to be guys out there. They're going to have a bunch of 60 and 70-year-old men out there that are donating their time. They're going to put on a special jacket. They're going to be standing out there helping these guys with a flag find their ball.
They're going to be important.
But this thing's got – it's going to be a bogey, double bogey machine, man. And U.S. Open is a 2-3-4 under. I like it. Listen, I wouldn't probably want – I don't want to see it. But that's a great thing of golf. Like, these guys know when they go to play a golf course, if they want a golf course, whatever fits their game. If they hit it long but they spray it, there's a bunch of golf courses for them where they're still good enough to make birdies and pars, but not this one. And this is a major, and they all play, and I'm waiting to see who the first guy that comes out once it starts and shoots a high 70 today and bitches. I want to see which idiot comes out and bitches, knowing every year. And every year, guys come out and go, this is not fair. This U.S. Open is just not fair. You know it's the toughest golf course you play every year. Wherever it's played, they said, make that fairway tight and make that rough off the fairway. Make that son of a gun. Let that grass grow, man. Let the cows eat. Let that grass grow where those guys can't, like, hit it out. They can barely advance the ball and almost give up a shot. So anyway, I like it. It's fun to see guys struggle. I want to see. I would never, like, for me now. Now, some of you guys still want to go out and play the greatest golf courses. And I'm going, nah, I used to go. We used to, as Dolphin players, got invited to play all the really nice golf courses when we were playing. So for a while, I used to go out and want to go with them. I wasn't as good as a lot of the guys, but I had my time where I could hit the ball straight, and then it would leave, and I'd be picking my ball up for about seven holes, and it was no fun. So, but then I got to the Doral finally. I told you the Blue Monster story. That took care of it. I got rid of my clubs after that. I was so excited to go out and play the Blue Monster right before Doral started when they had their tournament. And I realized the rough was so high. And I literally lost like eight or nine balls I couldn't find because there was nobody down there to keep an eye on my ball, right? So I just said that I don't want to do that again. That wasn't fun. It was, you know, ball, if I did hit the green, it'd roll off the back in the sand. I couldn't get out of the sand. And I just said, you know, this game needs a lot of time. It's kind of like a marriage. It needs a lot of time, and I'm not the kind of guy that's very good at giving time to it.
I didn't know why you're going to finish that sentence. That was
no, good. I'm just not very good. If marriages need a lot of time, and I've always said this, and it's not a shot at anybody I've been married to or dated or anything, but if you're high maintenance, I can't. I know you're going to divorce me because I can't give you the time you need. That's how I feel about golf. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but I can't be out with my guys and getting 14 calls. Like, when are you coming home? I thought you were going to call me tonight on the road. Like, what'd you guys do? What do you think I was doing? I was drinking. Might have been looking a little bit, but I didn't touch anything.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, so, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm cold-hearted. I'm not, because we're all different. But yeah, golf was that same thing to me. I was just like, I don't enjoy that. Everybody wants to go play around me, wants to go play the nicest golf courses. And I suck so much that it's not fun.
But if you played golf, I mean, if you went golfing as much as you played tennis, you would be an excellent golfer.
I don't think so.
That just takes time and a little bit of work.
See, now that's where you're wrong.
I'm not saying that you could join the senior PGA Tour, you know, right away, but if you golfed every day the same way you play tennis, you'd be a pretty good golfer.
First of all, one's 2 hours and the other, if you're going to get really good, you got to warm up. You got to hit some, which a lot of guys like to do. Guys that aren't in a rush like to go out and hit all their clubs and warm up, hit their driver, go to the putting green, then go over, play 18, maybe go in and have a cocktail or two. The cocktail or two is the one part that got me.
That's everyone's favorite.
That got to be part of my big lie in my first life. So I
but this sounds perfect for you. Like, what do you have to do between 11 o'clock in the morning and dinner time?
No, I'm finding different things to do. No, I know.
Like, what's on your schedule today between 11 and dinner time?
Well, let me ask you this question. I don't want to get into my personal
I know there's nothing going on.
People are tired of my boring personal life.
The calendar looks very empty today, so why not get out there, Joe?
Actually,
you spend your time on the driving range. You can get a bite to eat before you get out there in the clubhouse.
So let me ask you, how many guys out there would like to play this Wingfoot U.S. Open golf course? I would love to know.
I'm raising my hand in here.
But Hollywood, you'd go through.
I'm going to break 80 on that course.
Woody, I don't care, Joe. I have nothing to do with my life. So I would go out there gladly and hack it up and you know. But again, if I spent time doing it.
Okay. Go ahead. Say something stupid.
No, you know, Joe. It's the same thing with you. If you spent time doing it, you'd be a much better golfer.
Golf is not, no matter how much I practice, I have spent thousands of dollars through the years with some of the greatest coaches have given me tips when I go out there. Mr. McLean has been great to me through the years. He's been great. He's coached pros for years. He's worked with me. Sometimes he didn't charge me just to look at my swing, had me stop by the Doral out there where they had their big teaching club out there. And, you know, even if he cleaned me up a little bit over a couple of days – it went back to every bad habit. Like, can't break them. I think golf is the most difficult sport to play.
But you also may be, in fairness to these coaches, you may be relatively uncoachable.
Okay. There you go. There's a good take.
There's an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
No, I'm being serious. Like, I've seen people try to give you, you know, coaching here at work. You don't respond well to coaching, so I don't know.
I don't respond well to people having done stuff and then tell me how to do stuff. You're right. I need to have somebody I respect. Like, I had Don Shula. I had respect.
Maybe you didn't respect your swing coach enough to listen.
Let me see. I had some great general managers. Don Brown. Don Brown would have told me to go out and play in a high school football game when I was governor. I would have done it. Yeah. Like, great respect. But you got to have people you respect.
Of course.
You got to have people you respect, and then you work. Hey, listen, we got a lot more. Guy, I respect Charles Davis. How about that guy and what he's done in his career? Just moved to the number two team for CBS NFL as a color analyst. He's going to join us when we come back, so stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. All right, welcome back. Thank you, Charles Davis. Always great talking to our buddy that lives in Orlando, whose career has really taken off. Good for him. Always been a really good guy with NFL Network, all his draft stuff, with Fox as one of their teams, and then made the big jump over to CBS to get the number two spot right behind Nance and Romo. Pretty good place to be. Pretty
He's got a good partner, too. Ian Eagle and Charles are a good team right there.
That's pretty good stuff. Yeah. You're right. Hey, by the way, no starting quarterbacks injured or benched in week one for the first time since 2011. How about that one? We're so used to people switching in and out. I'll give you another one here early this morning. How many starting quarterbacks in week one were first-round picks? How many starting quarterbacks in week one were first-round picks? Ooh. How many you think? Just off the top. You don't have to look it up. I'm not looking for
32 teams. I say 20 out of the 32.
What do you think, Woody?
I think you're in the about 15 range, Joe.
No, 20's right on the mark. Huh. 20 first-round picks.
Interesting.
Yeah, 20. I think there's three second-round picks started, and then there's others. There's the other great stories, which is kind of crazy because Brady and Wilson were like third and sixth round picks, and they might be two of the.
And wasn't Drew Brees a second round pick?
Actually, there might be four second round picks because Teddy Bridgewater. Was Teddy taken in the first round or second round? Now I'm not sure.
I don't even know off the top of
my head. I always forget if Teddy just got inside the first round or first in the second, but that might be 21 first round quarterbacks because I forgot about Teddy. And I should have looked, and I usually know, man. I knew it was real close if Teddy
went. He was a first-rounder.
He was. So there's 21. Yeah. 21, guys. 21 in the first round. That's right, man. And there's a couple of guys on deck, right? Obviously, as we're talking down here, waiting to see what's going to happen with the Fitzpatrick stuff. If you haven't heard it on Tua after game one, we're gonna play that for you later on in the show. It was really, really good. We got a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the big story yesterday, Jimmy Clutch and Bam in the Block had everybody talking. Probably not the lead story yesterday because of the Clipper choke job that's got everybody and guys yelling and screaming about the disappearing act and the head coach. And Doc safe as can be, and you know it's about the players and where were those guys and what happened. Seems to me that now people are getting on Kawhi Leonard, and you know as far as well, how good is he? You're gonna look at him differently, and then of course Paul George has got some problems anyway that weigh that. But man, that's gonna go down as one of the greatest Game 7 disappearing acts I can ever remember in basketball from a 1-2 punch. I've seen one guy maybe struggle, but I can never remember.
Both guys like that? No.
Just like that badly. And just.
What was it, 24 combined points between the two?
24. And and we're going to have Brian Scalabrine join us coming up here at 7 o'clock this morning, our NBA insider and former Boston Celtic. Talk to him about the whole thing. And man, it was just unbelievable. But now we're all set. See if Denver can upset the Lakers. And, of course, we got ourselves a hell of a series right now, the Heat and Celtics, just teasing us, going overtime in game one. Back in action tonight, too, man. So it will be fun. We got a great week of stuff, man. And then, of course, because there's not a lot of college football games, Canes and Cardinals will be your ABC Saturday night football game. I was looking at this Big Ten stuff. I don't want to beat it up because we're not part of the Big Ten. And outside of they recruit the hell out of South Florida, that's the only connection we have with the Big Ten. But I was looking at the times. Did you guys happen to just catch, like who started already, who's getting ready to start, and when they're talking about the Big Ten and the Pac-12 starting?
Right.
It's still a mess. And I heard Herb Street's take on it. Even if you play four or five games, you just got to look and say, all right, even if you play four and the other guy played 10, if you're the best teams, you got to put them in the playoffs. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, four or five games? If you only play four or five games, how in the hell can I put you in that four-team playoff as one of the top four teams in college football? So yesterday, if you're not familiar, haven't been paying attention, the ACC and Big 12 have already started. Not everybody, but a lot of the games are. Matter of fact, we saw the Big 12 choke a couple of games last week. The ACC's already started playing, except for postponement because of the coronavirus, Virginia Tech. So there's been some games there. The SEC's going to start next week. And now the Big Ten says they'll start the weekend of October 24th. And the Pac-12 is talking about starting mid to late November. Like,
it's so weird.
How long am I going to wait for you?
Right. It's so weird.
So, I don't know. I understand Pac-12's got it tough, and they were blaming Oregon and California for most of it because on top of everything else, they got this little thing called air pollution from fires right now. So, The air is brutal out there. You've seen the pictures. So they're saying, well, California and Oregon are kind of holding us up because, you know, they've had the worst West Coast fires in the history of the states. So they're going through it, which I understand, not to mention, I don't know how they stand on their COVID-19 numbers. I didn't do an update on those two markets, but so you've got that going on, and they're going to be the last ones. I don't know what they can do. And I'm sure Mario's up there. Cristobal's going, well, all my guys are opting out. I guess they can opt back in, which I didn't realize until yesterday.
Yeah, I did see that yesterday, right? Yeah.
So they're asking one of Ohio State's best players, what are you going to do? And he hadn't decided if he's going to opt back in because he thought it was done till next year. So he said, screw that. So then they asked him, have you signed with an agent? He goes, well, I have an agent, but I haven't signed. I mean, we got a whole new problem with that agent thing. Every time I turn around, there's like college football is really effed up. I mean, some of it's not their fault. I'm not blaming the Big Ten for the way they handled. They've been beaten up on that. So I don't like Drew Rosenhaus came on and goes, yeah, you got to start recruiting those guys now, even if they're playing. I was like, I didn't think you could do that. I thought you had to wait. And then, well, no, they can't sign with you. So when I heard a guy opt out, I thought you were done. Opt out means you're out. And one of Ohio State's best players said, are you going to opt? He was asked a question. He was on TV yesterday. Are you going to opt back in? He goes, I don't know yet. And the guy then asked him the other question, which did you sign with an agent? Because if you did, I think that takes care of it. I don't think that rule's changed. If you sign with an agent, you're out. Because if you sign with an agent, you're probably taking money, which is a whole new problem. So,
but you can have an agent, just not sign with an agent. That's it, huh?
I guess you can make a verbal commitment to an agent. I don't even know what the rules are right now. Right. And half the agents live down here in South Florida. Probably should have taken a little time to ask somebody, but it was just like the whole thing. Like, all right, Ohio State's got a great team. They're all coming back, got a great quarterback, and they're going to make a run for this thing, and they're very excited. And so joining us right now and, you can opt in or you opted out. Are you going to come back in? It was a guy's birthday. He and his dad were on. It was just like, man, this year will be one to remember.
Right.
And then going forward, I mean, I just, we've all had to go through this, and it's touched all of us some way. But literally, the more you watch everybody trying to get back into college football, the more stuff that pops up. Like, first, my thought was, and I don't know if you guys thought this too, we got to go to break here. I'm running super late. We've got Scalabrini coming up here. But my first thought was, so wait a second. Help me out here. How are we going to decide who goes to playoffs with everybody playing a lot different games, including maybe half the games of another Power 12 team? And then on top of that, who can opt in and opt out? How the hell's that work? And how are we going to check if a guy does to make sure he hasn't broken rules? Then the other one is, are there any rules in college football? Crazy, crazy stuff. We got to go to break here, man. Brian Scalabrini is going to join us. We're going to talk about those Miami Heat and those Boston Celtics and that choke job by the Clippers. Zach, what do you got for me?
All right, well, go to WQAM.com if you want to check out Hollywood's blog. Every day after the show, one of our big interviews and one of the best quotes and the best quotes from that interview. And also tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., Zach and the Nose Fantasy Football Show right here on 560 The Joe. So check the blog out after the show and check us out tonight, 6 p.m., Zach and the Nose. Otherwise, we'll be back right after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.